Thirdly, this, being a feminist will give Christianity a bad name. This gives Christianity a bad name all over the world today. The name of Christ is being dragged through the mud through feminism. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, look down at your Bible in Titus 2, verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What does the Bible say is going to happen when wives are not obedient to their husbands? It'll cause the word of God to be blasphemed. That tells me that feminism gives Christianity a bad name. And when I say feminism, I'm talking about this worldly movement that started in the early 20th century that says, well, men and women are the same and they should do all the same jobs. They should wear all the same clothes and marriages should be a 50-50 partnership between a man and a woman. This is all unbiblical garbage. And the Bible says that if women are not keepers at home, if they're not keeping the house, if they're not obedient to their husbands, if they're not discreet and chaste, he said, that's going to cause God's name to be blasphemed among the heathen. You know, there are Hindus that look at Christianity and say, well, I would never want to become a Christian because look how feminist they are. They say, at least in Hinduism, you know, we at least respect the man of the house. At least our women wear clothes and are not going around half naked and promiscuous. Now look, Hinduism's a wicked false religion. But isn't it a shame that the name of God would be blasphemed amongst the Hindus through a feminist lifestyle in the United States? Right. Or even amongst the Islamic world. And Islam is a wicked, wicked religion. Amen. But the fact that Christians today have bought into feminism causes the name of Christianity to be blasphemed among the Muslims today. Bad testimony today. It's funny, there's someone that I know really well, someone that's very close to us, and this guy was the biggest feminist ever. He even said, he said to me recently, he said, I was the biggest feminist ever. He said, I've been a feminist my whole life, and he got married, and he practiced feminism in the sense that, you know, he let his wife have her career and pretty much do whatever she wanted. And it was 50-50. And I mean, this guy was the poster child for feminism. And recently his marriage completely fell apart. And he literally said to me, he said, you know what? Feminism is the biggest fraud. It's garbage. It's a lie. He said, I practiced it and believed in it for over a decade. And he said, it's a complete crock. And he said, you know, and this guy's not saved, by the way. Not a Christian. Not a believer. Doesn't believe in the Bible. He said, you know what? It makes me want to just marry a Christian girl and do it the Bible way, even though I don't believe the Bible. But you know what? That shows that the testimony of Christians who have a marriage that's patterned after the Word of God can even reach the most hardcore feminist. He doesn't even believe the Bible, and he says, man, I want that lifestyle. I want that marriage. I want that family life that Christianity has to offer when it's biblical Christianity. Amen. Amen. But the sad thing is, the vast majority of so-called evangelical Christians in America today are pretty much living the feminist lifestyle in America. It's very few Christians that actually follow the biblical roles of husband and wife. And it's sad because we could have such a better testimony amongst the heathen, because the Bible clearly says that when wives are not obedient to their husbands, that'll cause the word of God to be blasphemed. And it's a reality today. The Hindus are blaspheming it. The Muslims are blaspheming it. And then you see even an agnostic say, wow, I want your marriage lifestyle. I like that. Because mine failed, you know, because I bought into a lie. I was deceived. I bought into this fraud of feminism. If you would go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll see this reiterated. 1 Peter chapter 3. And see, I didn't sit down and write this sermon and say, you know, I'm going to think of all the stuff I don't like, and I'm going to say that that stuff gives Christianity a bad name. No, I actually just looked up in the Bible and I said, you know, what does God say causes his name to be blasphemed among the heathen? What does God say gives a bad testimony and a bad report amongst the unsaved? And this is what I came up with. Number one, living a sinful life, being a hypocrite. Number two, being a poor worker at your job. You know, we as men, what's the main thing we do with our lives? We work. That's our main thing. That's what we do. We are defined by our work more than anything else. That's how we are either a good or a bad testimony, through our work. And then ladies, what's the main thing that you do? It's keeping the home. It's being a mother. It's being a wife. Well, that's your main testimony to the heathen, how you do that job. 1 Peter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now look at this. In verse 1 here, get the order of events here. They hear the word and they don't obey the word, right? They hear God's word, they don't obey it, but then they're won over after that. They're won over by the conversation of the wives. That shows how the wife's conversation or lifestyle or testimony can be that powerful, where somebody rejects the word, but then they're won over by the conversation of the wives. What is it that won them over? Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, isn't that a word that we just dealt with? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Men, how do you adorn the doctrine? By being a great worker at your job. Ladies, how do you adorn the doctrine? How do you adorn the testimony of the Word of God? It's through subjection to your husband. And if you don't do these things, you're giving Christianity a bad name, according to the Bible.